Would you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 27? Exodus chapter 27. In just a few moments, you're going to get to hear from the Chambers family that's heading out to Europe. In your seat, most of your seats, there is a prayer card. I want to encourage you to go ahead and take this and slide it inside your Bible. Take it home with you. Do not leave these sitting on the seat. These are people you're going to want to be praying for. They've been called out from OPBC to go to reach unreached peoples with the gospel. And so I want to encourage you to take this with you. Put it in your Bible. The way we say it is you either put it in your Bible or put it on your refrigerator, whichever one you open more often, right? And so that's supposed to be a joke, but sadly it's not, right? And so we want you to take this, and we want you to remember to pray for them as well. And then at the back, there are some prayer guides there for praying for North African and Middle Eastern peoples. That's the people groups that they're going to work with. And so I want to encourage you to pick those up as well. There's also a gospel track there in your seat, and I want to encourage you to give that to someone at Christmas, that this is not just a season for us to be people who take, right? We should also be the people who are sharing the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. So Exodus chapter 27, as we've spent these last weeks moving towards Christmas, we've looked intently at the tabernacle of God there in the wilderness, with this tent where God's dwelling place would be with his people. The holy King of heaven would come down, as we just heard beautifully sung, that he would come and he would be among his people. Come see what God has done is the cry of the tabernacle, that we would see God among his people. This tent that God has had made for him so that he could live in a tent just like his people lived in a tent. So that he would go with them where they would go. So that when he picks up and moves, they pick up and move. And this tent was surrounded by a great courtyard. And this was the place. This was the place to come and worship God. This is the place to come into the presence of the Lord. This is where God was with us, is the idea of the tabernacle. This is the place to know God and to know that he knows you. That you're the people of God and he is your God. The tabernacle was constructed by God's exacting commands. He keeps saying, do it exactly as I told you on the mountain. And all of this was to demonstrate his holiness, to demonstrate his character, to demonstrate his love, his mercy, his grace. The fact that he would even make a way for the people who were so sinful to be able to come into his presence demonstrates his mercy and his grace. And today what we want to do is we want to move outside the tent. We've spent the last couple of weeks looking inside the tent. We looked at the structure of the tabernacle. We looked at the two rooms of the tent, this most holy place where God's presence would come and dwell there among the above the Ark of the Covenant, above the mercy seat. And we talked last week about the furniture in the holy place, right, where the priest would do what they were to do in order to honor and worship God. And now in Exodus 27, we move outside into the courtyard, this place where all of the people of God could go, that the people of God, who were the covenant people of God, had access to come in to worship. Exodus chapter 27, beginning with verse 1, says this. He starts with the furniture. You shall make the altar, this altar there in the courtyard, of acacia wood. Can we put this up on the screen? Okay. All right. The screen's not working at all. Okay. You shall make the altar of acacia wood 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. And you shall make horns for it on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. You shall make pots for it to receive its ashes, and shovels and basins and forks and fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall also make for it a grating, a network of bronze. And on the net you shall make 4 bronze rings at its 4 corners. And you shall set it under the ledge of the altar so that the net extends halfway down the altar. Here's the picture. It's a big grill. Is everybody with me? They're making a giant grill. Okay. So it extends halfway down the altar, and you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. And the poles shall be put through the ring so that the poles are on the 2 sides of the altar when it is carried. So this is going to go with the people as well. You shall make it hollow with boards, as it has been shown you on the mountain, so shall it be made. You shall make the court. Now, that's the big altar there, and that's the first thing people are going to see when they come in, but it's inside of a giant courtyard, the size of basically four tennis courts. You shall make the court of the tabernacle. So the tent is there, and then the big courtyard. On the south side of the court shall have hangings of fine twined linen, 100 cubits long for one side. It's 20 pillars, and their 20 bases shall be made of bronze. So just picture this in your mind. But the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. This is brilliant. It would glisten in the sun. And likewise, for its length on the north side, there should be hangings 100 cubits long, its pillars 20, and their bases 20 of bronze. But the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. Verse 12. And for the breadth of the court on the west side, there shall be hangings for 50 cubits with 10 pillars and 10 bases. The breadth of the court on the front to the east side, this is where everybody comes in, shall be 50 cubits. The hangings for the one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits with their three pillars and three bases. On the other side, the hanging shall be 15 cubits with their three pillars and three bases. For the gate, this is where everybody comes in, the only entry point, the gate of the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long. This is 30-foot gate. It's a 30-foot gate. You're not going to miss it because of what it looks like, a blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework. It shall have four pillars and with them four bases. All the pillars around the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their bases of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the breadth 50, and the height 5 cubits, almost 8 feet, with hangings of fine twined linen and bases of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle for every use and all its pegs and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. If you notice, inside the tent, everything was gold. Outside the tent, everything's bronze. You're with me? So inside, in the holy place where God dwells, everything is gold and pure. Outside is very menial, basic. It's being used. It's more hardy and it's earthly. And so this picture is very clear to the people of what God is like, that he's holy and we are not. So let me help you with a picture of what this looks like. So hopefully this works and we're going to throw this video up here. I want you to see a video of what it looks like and what this construction would have looked like. Okay. The tent, we know, we studied, has two inner rooms, right? Then there was this courtyard. So there's the tent, and you see inside, this would be the holy place, right? This would be the holy place where the bread of the presence is there. And then inside, the most holy place where God would come and dwell among his people. This would, all of the gold and the overlaid with gold stuff is inside, demonstrating God's holiness. But there wasn't just a tent. There was also a giant fence around the tent. An enclosure to mark the outer boundary of the tabernacle is about 75 feet by 150 feet, about four tennis courts. The fence was 8 feet tall so that people couldn't just peek in, right? There was only one way in, one gateway to the holy place where God was. And in the courtyard was a wash basin, but there was also this giant oven. A giant oven was the first thing that you would see as you come in. This giant oven with horns, this altar that would be covered in blood, the blood of the sacrifices being sprinkled. All the utensils in the altar outside were of bronze and would be shining in the sun, but they were more basic. This altar was the largest piece of furniture in the whole tabernacle setup, always reminding the people that there was a need for sacrifice to come in to worship God. If they were going to be in the presence of God, there would be a need for sacrifice. See, only the high priest could enter into the most holy place. The rest of the priests could go into the outer room, that holy place, and the people were allowed only into the courtyard, and only the people who were the covenant people of God, either the Israelite people or those who had become the covenant people of God and bound themselves in faith to the God of Israel by circumcision. This tabernacle was the only place to access God, the only place to worship God for the people in the wilderness. When they walked through the entrance into the courtyard, there would have been a hubbub of activity. The people would have been coming in to make sacrifices. The animals would have been there. There would have been all kinds of noise and activity. And it was a place they loved to go. The tabernacle and then the temple after it is a place where the people love to go. Psalm 84 tells us this, "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Psalm 100 tells us, enter his gates. You get that picture? Going in through that gate. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. See, the people of God loved to go to the courtyard of God because there they found forgiveness. When you walk in and you see a giant altar and you take your animal and it's placed on the altar and there's a sacrifice made, you know you're coming into the presence of God, but you also know that there's forgiveness. The first thing they saw when they came in was this giant grill, this giant oven with smoke and fire billowing. See, we tend to think that knowing God is some like ethereal thing, and it, even Christmas kind of makes it out to be. We've kind of made it into this pristine thing. You do realize like everything wasn't clean and pretty at the manger scene, right? There were animals there. And what do animals do where animals live, right? This is the reality. It was a dirty, menial thing. And our God humbled himself to come to us. Why? Because we're sinners. We're sinners. We don't have access to God because we're good enough. We don't have access to God because we want it. No, knowing God is only made possible by the forgiveness of sin. If we're not forgiven, we don't have access to God. We can't know God. God is holy. We are not. Something has to be done to allow us to have a right relationship with him. We do not have access to God unless there is forgiveness of sin. And the tabernacle made this clear. With its giant altar, its giant oven, always burning the sacrifices of the people for their sins. Hebrews 9 tells us very plainly that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. See, the problem of humanity is this. It's a sinfulness that runs so deep that even perpetual sacrifices can't deal with our guilt. If we were to just sacrifice all day, every day, it could never deal with the guilt for our sins. God is holy. We are not. There is a separation, and no amount of sacrifice could ever bridge that gap if we are the ones making the sacrifice. In fact, there were five types of sacrifices, five main types of sacrifices that people would have been burning on this altar day and night. The first is this, a burnt offering. It was a general sacrifice where a whole animal was thrown onto the altar, was thrown onto the grill, thrown onto this oven, and was burned there. This happened twice a day. Once in the morning, once in the evening. Just think about that for a second. Didn't matter. Morning, evening, animals being burned for a general sacrifice for sin, this burnt offering. Then there was the grain offering. We've read about this before, where with the produce that comes in from the harvest, we'd dedicate that to God with thanksgiving. And part of it would be burned on the altar, part of it given to the priest. Then there was the fellowship offering, where part of an animal was sacrificed and put onto the altar. The other part was eaten by the worshiper, demonstrating and denoting that there was reconciliation between God and this worshiper. Okay. And then there was the sin offering and the guilt offering. This idea of when you walk through that 30-foot gate into the tabernacle, you would bring your animal with you. Just imagine coming to church with your animal, right? That's what you're doing, right? You come to church with your lamb that you're going to sacrifice, and you get to the 30-foot gate, and you lay your hand on the lamb to signify that this lamb is going to take your place. The sin that you have committed now is being placed on this lamb. Now, is the lamb sinful? No, the lamb's a lamb. But it's signifying that it's taking the place of you in your sin. And when you do that, you lay your hands onto this animal, the priest would then take and kill. You would actually kill the animal there in the entryway and then give the animal to the priest. Just imagine the front door of church for a second. Right? We're killing animals to get inside. People might think Christians are weird, but that might just go over the top. But what's it signifying? It's signifying a substitute for the worshiper, a substitute for the sinner. The priest would then take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar. This would signify that God's wrath was taken onto the animal as a substitute for the person, making atonement for the sins of the worshiper. We're going to get into some of these into Leviticus. When we get to Leviticus, we're going to get into this. And yes, it is bloody. Okay, you're just going to have to deal with that. We're going to sing songs about the blood of Jesus because that is our only hope. Is that there is one who is sacrificed in our place. One who is our substitute. One who has taken our sin guilt upon himself. What's the point? What's the point of going through these sacrifices? What's the point of looking at the altar? What's the point of it being so big right there in the middle of the tabernacle courtyard? The point is, the fires are always burning. The smoke is always billowing. The smell of death is everywhere all the time in this place. Demonstrating that the Israelites and us, we're all just totally sinful. And no amount of sacrifice on our part could ever change that. There were at least 2 burnt offerings on that altar a day for over 1,000 years. Think about that for just a second. For over 1,000 years. See, what the people needed was not more sacrifices. They needed a once-for-all sacrifice. What the altar tells us, and the fact that there's this constant sacrifice, 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 go out and sin some more, come back and sacrifice, sacrifice, go out and sin some more, come back and sacrifice, sacrifice. The people needed a once-for-all sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, a sacrifice that could actually forgive them and change them and redeem them and make them right with God. And as John Owen, the Puritan, said, the altar we now have is Christ alone and his sacrifice. He is the priest. He is altar, sacrifice, all in himself. See, Jesus serves as our substitute. Jesus made atonement for our sins. Jesus died in our place to reconcile us to God. Jesus died once for all. This is what his name means. This is what we read in Matthew 1. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is who we celebrate. Every Christmas, we sing the song, O Come, All Ye Faithful. And it's like a call to worship, right? O Come, All Ye Faithful. And it's one of my favorites. But as we really think about this, the fact of the matter is that outside of the grace of God found in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, none of us are faithful. And some, none of us would be welcome. None of us could come. None of us could come and honor him. None of us could come and worship him as he deserves. Outside of the atoning work of Jesus, outside of the sacrifice in our place, we come as unfaithful, sinful, broken people in need of Jesus. We need his offering once for all. So the call today for all of us, the call, if you're watching online, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, you just keep sinning and keep trying to make up for it. Keep sinning and keep trying to make up for it. I want you to know that you will never succeed. You'll never succeed in making up for it. Jesus has paid all of the debt you owe. And so trusting him is the only way to be invited, welcomed into the presence of God. And so the call today is to call upon the Lord Jesus. Not to keep trying to be the faithful one, but to understand how unfaithful we are and how faithful he is. And to trust him as the faithful one. And so the call today for all of us is to come, all you unfaithful. And so I want to ask you to respond as the Lord leads you as I sing.
Come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, no, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. with fears unspoken, come taste of His perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born. Born. The Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon, His promise is peace for those who believe. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon, His promise. Those who believe. So come, though you have nothing, come, He is the offering, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is
Father, we thank You that there is no more sacrifice needed for forgiveness. No more atonement needed, that Jesus has paid it all. He's paid the price once for all. But Lord, we know also there are billions around the globe who don't know this truth. Billions who need to know the truth that Jesus Christ has paid their debt. Their sin debt is paid by God Himself. There are billions who are not welcome into Your presence because their sin still hangs over them. And so, Lord, I ask that You make us now not people who sacrifice, but make us living sacrifices as Your word has called us. Living sacrifices as an act of worship to You because of all that's been paid for us. May we be willing to lay down our own lives so that others would know that Jesus Christ is King. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You see, the call for us as God's people now is not to make sacrifices to be made right with God, but to offer our lives as a sacrifice to His glory. I want you to watch this video, and in just a moment, the Chambers family is going to come and they're going to share with us for a few moments. I want you to watch this video from our partners in Western Europe and be praying about how the Lord would give you, lead you to give. In just a moment, we're going to come forward during a video and you're going to have a chance to give. And all of that money is going to go to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100% of it. And maybe you've already written a check and you're like, I wrote the check. And maybe today you just realize, you know, the Lord's calling me to be a living sacrifice. And I need to write another check. And I need to make sure that our missionaries are supported as they go to the ends of the earth to make Jesus known. Isn't it good news that some missionary, somebody came to us? You realize Christianity didn't start here, right? There had to be people who came to tell people here in America. They were called missionaries as they came with the gospel. And praise the Lord that someone was faithful so that we could know Him. And I want you to be praying for our missionaries. So watch this video if you would.
First, I just want to say thank you so much for your faithful giving, both to the cooperative program and to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. If it wasn't for your giving, especially during times like these, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. I wanted to give a quick update about our ministry here in Western Europe. I wanted to tell you two stories. First off, we have a man, we call him Phoenix, who got saved back in January. And he followed the Lord in believer's baptism in June, and that was incredibly exciting to watch him do and explain this and share his testimony. We just praise the Lord for him. He is still currently meeting and growing in the Lord every day, and I just pray that you'll continue as he engages his friends and family that are back home in North Africa with the gospel. Just pray and give him wisdom also as he is learning and trying to decide how best to follow the Lord. The other story I want to tell you is a man named Adam. Adam is one of these believers that we've met with on and off for the last year and a half, and he's really struggled with his walk with the Lord. He dropped off the map last August, and we hadn't heard from him until suddenly, about in the middle of June, he started texting and wanted to meet. And now that we are able to meet face to face because of the COVID restrictions being lifted, we're meeting now weekly and studying the Bible, and he wants to learn more about God. So I just pray that you will continue to lift him up as he's a single man who's living in an apartment with 8 other guys that none of them are believers, and he has many friends, and we just need to be praying that he will reach out and engage those around him. Also, I want to say thank you through your giving to Send Relief. We were able to get grant money and do a huge food push where we delivered bags of food to families that we interact with through our center, and they also got the Bible, and we were able to pray for them and just pray too as we follow up with all of these families now that things are starting to open back up and we can do visits face to face. Once again, thank you so much for your giving. Thank you so much for your prayers. We would not be able to do what we do and to engage the people here in Western Europe if it weren't for you, for your giving and your commitment to world missions. Thank you so much.
So a few years ago, for those who are newer to OPBC, a few years ago we started a partnership through our state convention, the SBC of Virginia, in Western Europe. And we're going to be using general terms here for security reasons as we talk about our workers that are being sent. And so there in Western Europe, we started a partnership through the IMB, reaching North African and Middle Eastern peoples. And so we're going to ask you to be praying for the people groups that we're working with. And as we're giving today to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100% of what we give goes to make sure that the gospel is spread overseas. And so none of that stays here in the U.S. It actually all goes to missionaries and mission work overseas. And so we're going to ask you to give faithfully to that today. But I wanted to, for some of you, this is an introduction as you're newer. And this is the Chambers family. Some of you know them as a completely different name, but that's their name. And online, we're not going to be showing their faces because of where they're going and the work they're going to be doing. But we wanted you to hear from them today. And so the Chambers family is over here. And yes, as a pastor, it's always a good move when you're asking for money to put cute kids up as well. So yes, I'm aware of that. So, you guys are heading out soon. We actually did a commissioning for you about a year ago in front of a Christmas tree, and then things kind of changed. But real quick, just tell everybody, in January you went to training near Richmond, right? And tell us a little bit about that training, if you could.
Yeah, so we went from January to March. Did you want to share with this one? Or you want? Got it. Okay. So we went to training January 20th, and we're going to leave on March 14th. March 16th, but while we were there, essentially we got to learn about the missionary task and what it is to go somewhere and make disciples and to, you know, work yourself out of a job and to leave a healthy church behind, and that's the goal of where we're going.
Yeah. So the goal of your work then is to go and work among peoples who have never heard the gospel,
yeah.
See believers.
Yeah.
Come to faith. So that this center that was mentioned in the video, that's an entry point, right? Is that kind of the idea of what you guys are going to be doing?
Yes, that's the entry point. So that's a way to be involved in the community that we're working in, to be able to build relationships, to then be able to have opportunities to share the gospel with the people who come.
All right, so what are some of the ministries there at the center?
So at the center, pre-COVID, we had some kids clubs, youth events weekly, which have been really popular in the neighborhood. There's language classes, literacy classes for the immigrants who have come, as well as sometimes some English classes when teams come from the States. And then during COVID, like was mentioned on the video, they've had the opportunity to opportunity to do food distribution and things like that.
Yeah, and so the goal isn't just to meet physical needs, even though physical needs are important. That's the opportunity for the gospel to be shared. And then the hope is to see new believers and then to help them form a church, right? And so
right.
We want to see churches planted and then some of them even to go back to their own country to be able to do the same thing there. So this is a kind of it's a way for us to be able to get to people that are sometimes difficult to get to, but to be able to go to Europe and do it. And so I praise the Lord for that opportunity as well. So how did God use this church? So we went on the first trip that this church went to Western Europe. You guys were on the trip, right? Without the kids. It was pre-kids, right? And we went on the trip and had the opportunity to serve together. How has the church been a support to you guys as you've gotten ready to go?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. I mean, we have been discipled by people. We have had the opportunity to disciple others. It's a place where we've studied the Word of God with our peers and all of you. And it's been a place where we've grown a lot. We would go on these short-term trips, and when we came back, we would think about what it would look like to reflect that work here. And we got to do that with our friends. And also, there are people sort of every step along the way, with this process in particular, encouraging us and saying that they see this call to long-term missions. And something that we're honored to be a part of.
So Casey grew up in the church here and went off to, the Chambers, they're not seeing you, You grew up in the church, right? And then you went off to school You guys met in school.
That's right.
And then came back. Even though you were living in Richmond, this is a place where the Lord has continued to grow you and to make you ready to go to the ends of the earth. So I'm excited for what the Lord's going to do next in your lives and how the Lord has made you into a small family now and continue to provide for you. But you finished your training in March, and the plan was to leave in April, right? And to go, and then everything like got shut down.
That's right.
So what's the plan now?
So right now or what we've been doing?
You been doing while you've been waiting, and then what's the plan for the near future?
Yeah, so while we've been waiting, we've done several things. So I think one of the biggest things that we've had the opportunity to do is, I don't know if how many of you are familiar with funding for missionaries to the International Mission Board, but we're fully funded through Lottie Moon Christmas Offering and the Cooperative Program, and because people don't necessarily need to raise support, a lot of churches don't hear from their overseas workers face-to-face very often. So we really had the honor and privilege to be here and connect with a lot of churches that have been faithful, but hadn't actually heard thank you from, you know, many of us. So that was a real honor. We also, I'm not sure if all of these noises are coming up to the podcast. But
it's all a ploy on my part to get more giving. Don't worry about it. It's
excellent. We have been doing language learning, so we've made good progress there, considering we've not been in the country. And we've had a great tutor as well, who's a local there. And I've also had the opportunity to take seminary classes. I've taken 4 seminary classes since we've been here. And that's spinning.
Yeah. So the plan is.
And we have had another kid.
And you had another kid. That's right. That was a big one. I was wondering if you were going to get to that. You had another kid while you were waiting. So, and so now the plan is right after Christmas, hopefully you guys are on a plane and heading out, right?
That's right. So we are waiting for our visas, but they should be here in the next week or two, hopefully next week. And once we get those, we'll be able to make plans still.
All right. And plan to be there beginning of the year. And you need to know that as soon as a flight opens up and I'm able to get there, we'll be there to support you guys. You need to know that we love you. We're praying for you. We're going to continue to do that. And we'll be there walking along this ministry with you as well. One of the things I just talked about is the fact that no sacrifice is necessary for forgiveness of sin, but we're to live as living sacrifices. And you guys are a living example of that for us. Giving up your jobs, giving up Christmases with grandparents and all kinds of things in order to go and make sure people hear the good news of Jesus. And we want you to know we love you for that. We love you as you go. But what would it look like? What does it look like to be a living sacrifice for you? Like how far does that go if the Lord calls?
Yeah. So, I mean, we know that God has given us everything and that Jesus laid down his life for us. I mean, when with each step we take, I mean, we ask the question, you know, is Jesus worthy? Is he worthy for us to abide in him? And it is. I mean, he's worthy of every sacrifice, of everything that we could give. We know that we have a good Father, and we know that abiding in Christ is the best thing for our family. But we know that there's a lot of sacrifices there. The Bible is very clear about the sacrifices that Christians may have to make. And I don't want to know what the Lord might require of me in the future. But with each step, I know that Jesus is worthy.
Yeah, that's good. Can you stand with me if you would? If you would, the Lord leads you, just reach out a hand towards the Chambers family as we're going to pray for them as they go. They know, I hope you guys know how much my family loves you. And we want you to know how much our church family loves you. There is no greater honor and no greater struggle as a pastor than sending out your best. And so it is an honor to be able to stand with you and stand behind you as your church family. And we want to do that the best way we can today, and that's to pray for you. And then we're going to give. We're going to give to make sure that others hear that Jesus Christ is King. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that today would be a day where we would be convicted by what we've seen and heard, and even by what we're about to hear. Lord, I pray that today would be a day where we would take up our cross and follow after you, because it's worth it. Because Jesus is worth it. I pray that today, because of the sacrifice that's been made for us, now we would be living sacrifices, willing to take whatever comes, but to trust that you're a good Father and that the next step is in your plan. And then whatever that step brings, we're willing to take whatever comes because we have Jesus in the end. And he's worth it. And he's worthy to be worshipped by every person who's ever lived. He's worthy to be worshipped. So, Lord, I pray for the Chambers family as they go. I pray for their partners in Europe. I pray for the people that they will reach. And I pray that one day as we gather around the throne, worshiping the Lamb slain, that we will be with people that they have reached with the gospel, who are proclaiming with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain in their place, the one who made sacrifice for them once for all. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Can I ask you to be seated, if you would? And before we go, here's what we're going to do. I told you we're going to have a special time of giving. And some of you were looking for the offering plates earlier. I get that. This is the offering plate today. Okay, if you're outside, you have an opportunity to do that as well. There's a manger there for you as well. Everything you give today goes to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We're going to play a video here in just a moment. It is heavy, but it should be convicting for us. And it also should be freeing for us to know that the Lord has called us and equipped us in everything that we need in him. So watch this video. Come forward during the video. Make the offering sacrifice today so that others will know that Jesus is King.
For 175 years, God has given life to this organization. He has called us to go. Thousands have answered that call, and Southern Baptists have joined together to send them. From every walk of life, from every part of our country, they boarded ships and planes, leaving behind all that was comfortable, predictable, safe, and secure. All to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Into deserts and jungles, across mountains and seas. They planted their lives preaching Christ crucified. Many completed their service and came back to their homeland. But some did not. Some would perish on the field. They would starve, become ill, or be struck down on distant and dangerous roads to present the gospel. And some would be struck down for simply preaching the good news of Christ. In moments of extreme violence, many would choose to stay in danger to bring peace to those in the midst of chaos. But those are dark days for all of us, when we lose our brothers and sisters, when we feel the very real sting of death. On those days, we all ask, is it worth it? Is it worth the high price, the ultimate price? Etched on the hearts of missionaries throughout time are words like these. My life is of no value. My aim is to finish the race. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we take up our cross to be living sacrifices. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. These lives were not lost. These lives were given. We may never know the full impact these missionaries have given on this side of eternity, but some stories we do know. Stories of God pouring out His Spirit on tribes and nations because missionaries modeled the one true sacrifice. Generations forever altered. Life is a gift. How will you use the life you've been given?
Father, I stand heavy-hearted not for those lives that were given, but for the billions who do not know the hope that they carried. But Lord, we love this family. We love this family that we send out, and we're sending them out trusting you. We're sending them out trusting you to provide for them and to bring fruit. But Lord, oh, what a shame it would be, and just woe to us as your people if we leave it to them to be the only ones to go proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. Oh, that we would be people who would now be sent out to go and tell how great Jesus is, the once for all sacrifice, the only hope. Make us faithful, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me if you would. We'll read our benediction, and we're going to go out. We're going to go out as the people of God. And we're going to go out singing, because we're a singing people and we're a people with good news to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. Read with me if you would. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you